Welcome to Twist, This Week in Sea Turtles.
Okay, so this is Twist number 4. What week is it?
first full week of July.
First full week of July, and Matthew Godfrey and I are on Bald Head Island, sitting in the Bald Head Island Conservancy, dorm? What do you guys call it? And we're here with the interns and the island naturalists with the Bald Head Island Conservancy, who are helping us to find and satellite tag sea turtles, loggerhead sea turtles. And we have all of the interns sitting around the table with us. But is this, you guys all just turtle interns, right?
Mm-hmm.
One wildlife
intern, okay. So probably to start with, we should probably go around the table and everybody introduce themselves. Tell us your name and where you're from. Start with Melissa.
I'm Melissa, and I'm from right outside Washington, D.C.
And what's your position?
And I'm the island naturalist. I run the sea turtle program out here.
Okay.
I'm Anna Huntley, and I am from Asheville.
Asheville,
yes.
North Carolina?
Yes.
People from all over the world will be listening to this, so be specific.
Yes, Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm Craig Lind. I'm from Elgin, Illinois.
Okay.
I'm Anna Harris. I'm from Syracuse, New York.
I'm Eric Payne, and I'm from Copper Hill, Tennessee.
John Wilder, Missoula, Montana.
Lauren McCullough, Katy, Texas.
Really? Texas, huh?
I'm Jeff Edge, wildlife intern from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. So this group seems to have a little bit of fun. And as usual, Matthew Godfrey's here, state sea turtle coordinator for North Carolina, and I'm Michael Coyne. Whoever. So we thought we'd sit down with the interns this week. They've been a tremendous amount of help this week and past interns from previous years of the project. Just a little bit of background. The reason that we're here is we're studying North Carolina loggerheads. We're basically putting satellite tags on adult female loggerheads and seeing where they go. And this is the fourth year of the project. And by the time we're done with the field season this year, we'll have a total of 16 tags out for the 4 years. I think I added that, Matthew?
Nope, but that's just a small part of the work that's going on
right
during the whole season.
That's just the reason why we're here.
Yeah. But the reason that these other people are here is much larger.
Right. So, and maybe Melissa, you can tell us a little bit about what the interns are here for.
Sure.
Why what the Bald Head Island Conservancy does.
What they're supposed to do,
right?
Well.
Maybe we should ask them first what they think their job is. And then you can tell them what their job really is.
Exactly. Do what you're told. The program here actually started in 91, so each year since then they've had a different set of interns come in for 3 months and do basically a census of the nesting females here on the island. This year we have bumped it up from, it has gone from 2 to 4 to 6 interns that we send out nightly to patrol the beaches from 9 p.m. to about 6 a.m. in the morning, just riding back and forth up and down the beach on our big ATVs. I'm looking for every female we can intercept. We intercept about 77% of the females on the beach, which gives us a really good idea of who is nesting here and when. So from that data, all the data from the tagging study, it's a mark recapture study, will allow us to put together a whole lot of population models and predict nesting into the future and predict survival rates for our adult females and try and predict actually how our nesting trends will be in 10 or 15 years into the future, depending on the hatchlings we produce. So it's their job just to work all night long and sleep till about noon.
So,
and they've got a bunch of other activities they're in charge of during the day here.
So why did it go up from 2 to 4 to 6?
We're trying to increase our the intensity of the project. Plus the Conservancy has expanded greatly since then, adding a lot more education programs with an information center and a gift shop the interns are all required to work in. So the need for the manpower has increased, and asking interns to work 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, is too much. So in order to increase the project and increase the mission of the Conservancy, we've got to increase the number of interns out here.
Does that mean they get nights off now?
Yes, they work 5 nights on, 1 night off usually.
So their job isn't just going out looking for turtles, it's also, like you said, education and gift shop and all sorts of stuff.
Yep, they have about, and they're also required to do their own research projects while they're out here.
How many people are working on their research?
I'm doing mine.
I'm attempting.
Unsuccessfully, but I'm
not
trying.
Not all the hands went up. Let me just say.
Raise your hand, you're on the radio.
Okay, so one of the really interesting things, and probably the reason that we're here, why this is a good place for us to do the project that we're doing, because I think Matthew told me this is the only place, or maybe
one of three
places in North Carolina where they actually patrol the beach. So there's any decent chance of intercepting an animal on the beach.
But of the three, it's the one with the highest number of turtles.
Right.
So, nesting.
Hooray.
So in order to put a satellite tag on a turtle, you have to actually find the turtle. and that's what these guys have been doing for us and been doing a fantastic job of that. Okay, so one of the questions I had for you guys was, how did you find out about the internship in the first place?
Yahoo.
Is that right? So what, did you go on Yahoo just searching for sea turtle?
Well, I needed a marine biology internship.
Right.
So I went out and did the marine biology internship search, and this was one of the positions that pulled up.
Gotcha.
Same for me.
Yeah.
I found mine on the Marine Turtle newsletter online.
All right. Yeah.
Sweet.
You got a reader.
So you know about sea turtle.org. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. So we can probably say this on the podcast, can't we? Before an official announcement comes out. Matthew, you
finish the actual issue.
Before I actually finish my part of my article for it. Matthew and Lisa are taking over as editors of the Marine Turtle Newsletter. But the official announcement hasn't come out. So all you listeners out there, all six of you.
All six and
which is
there.
Us, yeah.
and their families.
You heard it here first. Matthew
so,
and Lisa taking
so.
Over as editors.
Two internet searches, Marine Turtle Newsletter.
Mine was still the internet. Like, I was searching the internet.
Oh,
I
yeah.
found
but that's where you found it?
Yeah.
I actually, when I was in high school, I was doing a senior exit project, and I was doing it on sea turtles, and in some of my research, I came across Baldhead Island Conservancy, which I hadn't heard of before. And I just kind of kept that in the back of my head, This was the first year I could apply for it. So.
Okay, cool. So speaking of that, what are the requirements?
Sorry.
How did you guys find that?
Google.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Internet as well.
Yeah?
Professor. He found it. You got an email, and he passed it on to me, and I applied from there.
Excellent.
Success.
Excellent. Okay, so what was my question I just said?
So what are some of the requirements?
Oh, yeah, what are the requirements? What is? Well, before the selection process, from your perspective, what did you have to do? What was it like applying? What did you have to do to apply for the position?
We had to write an essay. That was I applied for a lot of sea turtle jobs, and this was the only one that had you like write an essay and everything. And it seemed like out of most of the jobs that I applied for, like in Florida and otherwise along the coast, this was what seemed like the most professional experience, and it was pretty much the only one I wanted to get.
I thought it'd be a good opportunity because one, it's nonprofit, and you get real personal with everybody that you work with. So, you know, they know who you are as opposed to like a corporate position in an aquarium or, you know, some other position like that. So we might have somewhere else to go whenever we graduate.
Anybody else?
Same thing. Just said to fill out that little application form. Do we have to send a transcript or no?
Yep. Yeah.
Transcript.
Yeah.
Did you send yours?
So,
a long time ago.
Is that what does the job posting look like?
It's got everything that's required. It's actually pretty intensive for what I would consider an internship for a small nonprofit.
Right.
It required an essay of interest, which you can tell a lot about who can write and who can't. It's basically what we want to know. We also do interviews. They go through two sets of interviews. One, the first interview is with myself or Maureen. And then there's an interview with our director, Maureen, and I, once we get it down to about 12 applicants or so. They're also required to send in two letters of reference. One has to be from an academic advisor and transcripts. So it's more of an all-around position. Because out here, they're not just doing research, not going out in the field and riding up and down the beach line. They're interacting with the public daily. They're living on a really small community that is really well-known. There's some people out here, highly powered people out here that they're interacting with, so they've got to be professional. And it's just undergraduate rising juniors and seniors. are all we take, or recent graduates.
That's what you're looking for.
So we're targeting it for.
But a recent graduate, so somebody who started a master's project already or
no,
not?
No, no. If you graduated in May, you can come here in May.
Okay. That now, your position is a little bit different. As Island Naturalist, it's a 3-year position, right?
Yes.
And you're working on a master's degree,
mm-hmm.
and that's a requirement as part of the position to
yes,
be working on a degree.
Yes, it is.
And the Conservancy provides some support for that?
It does. It does provide support. Virginia Tech covers my tuition and also makes the difference of what they pay their graduate students.
Gotcha.
So
how about you guys? You obviously get a really nice palatial estate to live in here.
Yes, free living, free internet, and free cable.
Is there any other compensation for the intern?
Yep, they get paid $1,200 for the summer.
Oh, right. Nice.
So, should cover food.
$100 a week.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much, on this island.
I mean, seeing turtles
yeah.
isn't enough?
Exactly.
That should cover it, right?
That's our reward.
Okay, so,
well, can we get to the personal questions now?
Personal questions?
Yeah. So could you share, like, what your most cherished experiences on the night patrols with some of our listeners?
The first turtle that we found.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
really cool.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
So can you talk about it?
Nothing more about this person.
Some of these people haven't had the chance to see turtles on the beach, so.
I honestly hadn't ever seen a turtle nesting before, and I just thought it was really cool. I didn't realize how flexible their back flippers are and how they can dig this hole, like this perfect little shaped hole, without seeing a thing, and I was just totally amazed by it. That was definitely something I'll remember.
The first turtle was definitely amazing too. Like, you know, we had prepared for a few weeks before we got to see one. And then it was like the night that we saw one, I was just shaking and I sort of forgot what to do. I got a hold of myself again. But other than that, now that we've seen a whole bunch and it's just kind of like the normal thing now, hearing other people's reactions when it's their first time is awesome because they say all the same stuff that we said, like, this is amazing, this is amazing, this is amazing. But it's pretty cool.
I especially like watching the little kids who've never seen it before because they're just so excited, and we were out on the beach a couple days ago. We had missed a nest at night, so we were covering it. We didn't have a cage for it, so we went out the next day to cover it, put the cage over, and we had two little four-year-old kids who really wanted to help us find those eggs, and that was probably my best time this summer. We spent about an hour digging with them, and all they wanted to do was find those eggs. Just loved it.
Every 2 seconds, they were like, I think I found the egg.
Oh, yeah.
One little girl that we had on our turtle walk last night when we had a turtle, her dad was telling us, I guess she was like, I don't know, 9 or 10, and she already wanted to apply for an internship here. So that was really cool. The kids get really into it.
Yeah, I think the satellite tagging we did the other night was pretty awesome. How we had one turtle that walked up, and at least 100 foot behind it, another turtle walked up.
Right.
They were both there together. We satellite tagged them both together, and the public got to see both of them at once. It's definitely pretty cool.
Wildlife guys are sitting here in the background, pointing out the fact that they found the second one. So.
We'll give them
credit. They took ownership of that turtle.
That's right. We've only found 46 of them.
But that 47th one. Ours.
Not our job.
I believe that was ours last night, actually.
So does it gotten to be sort of old hat now when you find a turtle?
No,
or
it's
still exciting.
Yeah.
It's still exciting. It's definitely a lot easier to do the flipper tags and the biopsy now that I'm used to it.
Right.
But every turtle is different.
Yeah.
And some of them can be
it's
a little bit.
Better than any other jazz.
Except for last
night.
Yeah, last night.
What happened last night?
We just had a new turtle, no flipper tags, no scars or anything, so we think that was probably her first nest, definitely around humans, and she just got really freaked out when we flipper tagged her, and she didn't even cover up the nest.
No.
She got her left side, and then we just quit doing everything, let her go back to nesting, to see if she'd calm back down, and she went over to the right side, put a flipper tag in, and
hold.
Yeah.
Yep.
That
happens.
Yeah, and then you have to explain it to everyone that's there,
Yeah, right.
Like, well, but she'll come back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. She will. So what about, what's the most unexpected thing about doing night patrols?
Like just like cool story wise.
Sure.
Or the freakiest thing.
We've got a good story.
Anna and I actually had a cool one.
Yeah.
We were driving along the beach and we just saw these weird tracks. They looked like turtle tracks, but they were kind of the same width. And just looked weird because there was kind of like little punch marks along the side. And we were driving along and there was an 8-foot alligator sitting up on the beach. And I guess they named him Stumpy. He only had three legs. That's why the track looked so funny.
That's so weird.
And they ended up having to relocate him the next morning because he couldn't find a home here on the island. So they moved into the green swamps on the mainland.
Wow.
But that was unexpected.
Definitely unexpected.
Come across a 8, what was he, 8.5 feet?
9 foot.
9 foot? Yeah.
You weren't tempted to tag it or...
bristle it.
Kept our distance. That's a wildlife intern's job.
We always like to go out any chance that we get to find turtles, and we had a few weeks where we didn't, or I guess a week and a half where we didn't have cars, and it was storming one night, and we had gone out and we came back to the house and we're watching the storm online, and Craig told me, okay, the storm has passed, you can go out, we're fine.
That's not true.
We get out on the beach, we're coming around the point, and this huge storm is right there, and there's a lightning bolt right in front of us. And I didn't know what to do. I was almost peed my pants. And we had to start running, and as we were running, lightning bolts were hitting, like, it seemed like 10 feet away. I'm sure it was a
They're
lot further than
him.
That. But we felt like we were being chased by lightning. Anna got on the radio and said, come back to the house. I thought to myself, did you think we were going to stay out? So we made it back, but that was... Craig probably remembers a different story, but that's...
There's a storm coming in, but we might have time to make it around the point. I was wrong.
We had fun together. It was hard. Getting used to staying up all night, and I remember we'd start off and we'd come in for a break and we'd all like start to fall asleep, and all of a sudden Lauren, let's go, and it would be like, she was always like the motivator.
So has that gotten easier? Has your clock sort of shifted?
Yeah, definitely.
I still have to drink about a pot of coffee.
before going on patrol?
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to get up.
I'll just take a thermos and then...
If I wake up before 1, I don't care if I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. If I don't wake up until 1 a.m. or 1 p.m., I'm tired all day long.
So any other good stories?
John and I were out one night, and we had an interesting experience. We had had a pretty normal night, and we were driving around, getting to the point, and we see tracks, and, you know, go up, and there's a turtle nesting. So we go ahead and do our thing, and we actually didn't see her get back in the ocean. We were digging for the eggs, and we caged up the nest and everything. It took probably about half an hour, and we turn around, and the turtle has walked, I don't know, all the way to China and back, and she's still not in the water, and the sun's starting to come up, and I don't know, she was just getting real tired, and we just couldn't get her. It took us about, I don't know, like 2.5 hours to get her back in the ocean.
She usually walked half a mile on the beach.
Yeah, her flippers were bleeding, her shells drying out. It was awful.
And didn't you guys even leave her for a while so you could figure it out on her own?
Yeah, we thought we might be confusing her, so we went down the beach and came back, and she's still there. She's just walked and walked and walked and walked.
Oh, this is out on the point, you said?
Out on the point, where it gets really wide.
There's a ton of sand out there, yeah.
I think they really get confused, too.
She got so confused.
Well, when we were out there the other night, Diver Jen was there. This is a turtle that we satellite tagged a couple years ago, was back. And after we got the old satellite tag off of her, she wandered off and was going in all kinds of directions. But one of the things I did is I got down really low on the sand to try to look at, to see from her perspective what she could see. And you can't see the water when you're up on the dune there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big, huge, flat expanse of water. And I think one of the things I've heard is that...
Especially at low tide.
Yeah, and that they key in on the refracted light off the surface of the water, maybe one of the things.
Right, they try to balance it between the two eyes.
Right.
But if it's, you know, whatever, 270 degrees horizon, what do you do?
Yeah, all they can see is sand. They don't know which way to go.
Yeah, see,
so
I was definitely confused.
I thought they would come up on one side of the point and go over and see water and then get confused and think, like, well, did I turn around? How am I at water when I just came up? And, like... keep circling that way, you know, before they nested, because I never had a problem with them after they nested, but before they nest, they travel all over the place.
We had one that crawled around for about 1 hour and 45 minutes and never even nested.
No, she didn't even nest.
We just left her, and she eventually made it back to the water.
Right.
And we came across that green turtle, and neither one of us, you know, all we'd seen were loggerheads. No, we walked up on it, and the first thing I thought was, what's wrong with this turtle? And I was like, oh, it's a different species. It has a little head.
I was like, yeah, look how small its head is.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was a funny night also.
That poor turtle couldn't get back into the ocean. She
dug
herself into a hole, and y'all had to kind of pick her out.
That was fun.
450-pound turtle.
So there was one turtle this year I heard got hung up in all kinds of. What's the story with that one? That was this season, right?
Yeah, she crawled up the beach, and somebody had left. There was a kayak, and there was probably about enough toys for 20 kids and a tent. And she crawled over the toys, and she moved the kayak about 5 foot up the beach, and then turned around and crawled back out from under the kayak, and then crawled into a rope that they had anchoring down their tent, and crawled headfirst into the dune and got stuck, and finally crawled back out, and then she finally nested. But I don't know, she had so much trouble. I'm surprised she nested.
Right.
Yeah, she did.
Well, I think this is, I mean, this is a pretty universal problem around the world. You know, people leaving stuff on beaches. I think there's some areas like in the Mediterranean where hotels, you know, have just, as a matter of course, they leave their lawn chairs or their beach chairs out on the beach all night, and they've had problems with the turtles getting hung up in it. But so my understanding is here on Bald Head, there's an ordinance that has passed.
Oh,
right?
There is. They're working. See, I don't think there was. They're trying to get
passed.
One.
Oh, I thought it was going to be in effect. No. It was passing.
There's a lot of stuff on this beach.
They can still be.
Have thrown probably at least 8 lawn chairs in the back of the thing when we're on patrol. That are not in front of somebody's house. They're out by the point. There's usually always 2 chairs. I think they belong.
Yeah.
Move them above 5 tide line here.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But, I mean, that's dangerous for the turtles.
Sure. Yeah, because I guess, the turtles can get hung up in stuff.
She just pulled the rope out of the ground. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
And they get stuck out with the sun coming up, and they get all dried out. And
if that got wrapped around her flipper or something like that,
she was stuck.
She'd have been stuck,
Yeah, we've seen it. The people that are in the house next to us have left their beach furniture, umbrellas, and everything out every night since we've been here.
Yep.
Stuck out there. I don't know if it's just people don't
this
know.
This tent was out there
or,
for at least a month.
Yeah.
It was out there forever.
I think I heard somebody say something about they were going to get a warning. Something, or at least be notified.
Well, so
that this
my understanding is that if this thing passes, that there's any patrols that go by will confiscate their stuff off the beach and take it down to place it.
To make her next year.
The thing is, and when people ask about their furniture, they'll be told that it's down at the police station. They have to pay a fine to get it back.
Oh wow! They should make sure that people know that there's an ordinance, because we've talked to people on the beach before about having white lights, and they don't know. And people, you know, sometimes when people come up in the info center, we'll tell them, you know, people on the island don't leave their back porch lights on if their house is up against the beach. And they're like, oh, really? Like, nobody knows. I think there needs to be a better way to, more advertisement, or, you know, people need to know that these are rules.
They used to have a few years ago, every rental house, they'd have these magnets that stuck on the fridge that say, remember, keep your lights out, turtles, things like that.
A lot of people I talk to never don't know.
Yeah. And there are tons of houses that... There's one house that has every light in that house on
and
at 3 a.m.
Every night,
at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
every lot.
And it's all glass.
It's
pretty much.
It's all obvious. You can probably see that from Oak Island if you wanted to.
The problem is that they're not allowed to have cars, so they can't show conspicuous consumption, so they just leave all their lights on.
Yeah, that must be it.
Cool thing I noticed was there's a house somewhere on South Beach that has a top level. Where
all
the front
red.
Side is all glass, and it's all red lights up there.
Yeah.
We noticed that. Interesting. At least they're trying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Of course, red lights mean something else, too.
Yeah.
Red lights. Oh, definitely.
All right. Raised in Thug Town.
So what's the most interesting, or what's the thing you've enjoyed the most that was not specifically turtle related of the other activities that you do?
I've come to like working at the info center, because sometimes these cool people will sit down and talk to you that have been all over the world and have so much cool stuff to tell you about and tell you to visit all these places, and they just have advice. They've been through grad school, they've been through their PhD. Sometimes, you know, it's just nice to have somebody you don't know come down and talk to you and hear what they've been through.
Yeah.
Well, people here are exceptionally nice. Well, most of them. I wouldn't say all of them. Most of them are nice. But, I mean, even when we're patrolling the beach, people will stop and say, have you guys seen a turtle?
Yeah, I like that too.
You know, I mean, it's the people are awesome here.
Right.
And the community, you know, every one of them want to get to know you and who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, it does seem like the community is pretty well involved and well aware. Anyone else?
I really love kayaking.
Yeah.
I hadn't ever done it before, and then I helped lead a trip. That was the first time I had kayaked, and that was a little scary because I ran into the people who were trying to take on the trip. But yeah. I think they thought I was kind of an idiot, but it was a good time. Like, so our kayak guy kept bumping into us. I don't know what that was like.
I'm not getting the tip.
Just playing bumper boats. That's
funny. Any others?
Yeah. I just enjoyed all the activities
just
you
the
can
turtles?
Do here. Only the turtles. I'm only here for that.
I like the social events. There's always, like, at least once or twice a month, there's always parties to go. Not, you know, like, the big crabs, picnics and stuff like that. The crayfish boil. There's the town.
Like community events.
Yeah,
community,
yeah.
The town's
right.
Always getting together to have food together, and it's a lot of fun.
That's great.
So if someone called you up and said, "Hey, I'm going to be an intern next year at Bald Head, can you give me some advice?" What would you tell them?
Don't worry about what everybody else in the house is doing. Period.
Yeah.
Just deal with it.
Find some good books. I really enjoy reading.
Drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Don't take anything too seriously. Except for your job.
Have fun. It's not hard.
No.
What have you found to be the most challenging part of being out here?
Yeah, staying up all night.
Staying
yeah.
up all night. It's
living,
rough at first.
Yeah.
Living with 12 people can get
right.
hectic at times, but it's not too bad.
The kitchen with 12 people. Seven guys.
Seven guys
it's
in one room.
Seven guys in one room was not
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, seven guys shared one room for a month. Was it a month?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. It's close to a month. It seemed like a month.
I like the whole summer.
Us four girls were living the high life.
Yeah, we
were.
And
our room was
twice the size.
So what's the other? So all the interns used to stay here in this part of the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now they've opened a new bedroom.
Yeah, they expanded the education building.
So anybody that's not a sea, well, the three wildlife guys moved over there.
Yeah, we did that because the sea turtle interns, well, most of the guys are up all night long, and the wildlife guys are asleep all night long, so
right.
Yeah, they
you know, we can sleep during the day and they won't bother us. So they're off on their own and work on our own.
Makes sense.
All right. I had a really killer closing
really?
Question, but I forgot what it was.
Well,
oh, I know what it was.
What's
you go ahead.
Of a lie?
I've got one. So.
I was just gonna say this is your opportunity to share anything with turtle geeks who are gonna listen to this. So
yeah.
If you guys want to say anything.
We're not.
We all really like turtles a lot.
Turtles are awesome. You know?
I feel like we should all have something bold and important to say.
I know.
Live your dreams.
Well,
that
so
might change in August.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never have anything like bold and important.
Tonight
so.
I'll be like, man, I should have said this really cool thing.
Yeah, you'll wake up in the middle of the night.
Pick yourself.
Okay, so the thing I was going to ask you guys was, where do you go from here? What happens at the end of the summer? And we'll just, if you don't mind, go around and you can tell us what's going to happen when this is, where are you going to from here? And what are your sort of long-term plans or goals?
Well, I've got one more year of school. I have a ongoing research project at UNC Asheville that I'll be finishing up in March. Hopefully presenting at INCR. And then after that, I'm hoping to go on to grad school, although I'm not sure immediately. I'd like to work for the SDA, maybe take a year off after that.
I just graduated from the University of Illinois in May, and now I'm kind of taking a year off, and I'm applying to grad school here in the fall, and then going to grad school, hopefully, next fall, the following fall. So I'm just kind of taking a year off, doing internships, programs like this, try and get a feel for what I really want to do. But definitely something in marine biology.
Was it the UNCW or Wilmington? Is that
no,
here?
University of Illinois.
Oh, okay, sorry. That you applied to for grad school?
No, I haven't applied to grad schools yet. I am applying to grad schools
in
the fall.
Okay.
And there'll be several of them. So.
Sort of in the same boat as Craig. I just graduated from the SUNY College of Environmental Science in New York. And I've been looking for other internships to do this upcoming year. I took the GRE yesterday, so I'm going to be applying for grad school here pretty soon. But I'm not sure what I want to do yet. It's going to be something in the biology field, but that's why I like the internship thing. It's just long enough for you to figure out, you know, what you like and test out the waters of a whole bunch of different fields.
Hopefully I graduate this spring from Berea College in Kentucky. And I'm applying for several full-time jobs, and I also take my GRE and apply for grad schools and just go with it from there. I mean, it depends on what job offers I get.
What kind of jobs are they?
I worked in an aquarium last summer, so a couple of aquarium positions, maybe a couple of positions like this, so more research than anything, so I like the research positions.
Graduated, I guess, this fall from Montana, and I'd like to go into grad school. Kind of always been interested in movement issues with different animals, and that's kind of what I'd like to go to grad school for. And not much done on sea turtles as far as movement, what they use to move, that sort of thing, so this was kind of to get a feel for whether or not there's a possibility for that in grad school or not.
I still have a year left at Davidson College, and I'm really excited to be in senior year. And I have a year to decide what I want to do. No idea.
You don't have to know yet, right?
Yeah. So I plan on having a lot of fun and hopefully figuring out what I'm going to do.
In the fall, I'm going to Oregon for an aquarium science program to be better equipped for a career in working at aquariums and being an aquarist.
Is that
what
it's really called?
I think so.
Yeah. You still
are. Is that a scientific term, Jeff?
It is now. Aquariite.
So, Matthew, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Sheesh.
I still haven't figured
term?
It out.
No, well, actually, I'm really. Because I actually get paid to work with turtles, so.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything better.
Yeah.
Lightly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have loved, I mean, if I was in your position, I would have loved to have had an internship job like this. So.
Yeah, I threw myself into turtles in grad school, had never seen one or done anything with them before that, but had an interest and sniffed it out, found a place to go where I could work with turtles. So,
where are you going to be in a year, Mike?
Well, I don't know.
I think
you're
that's
back
the best
here.
Part about our job,
back
or about
here.
You know, our field.
Back here, yes. Hopefully back here, in 1 year, we'll be back here with a new set of interns. We'll put out 4 more satellite tags, if not more, and keep the ball rolling. Eventually, hopefully we'll have the entire female population tag.
Every turtle will have a tag.
That's
right. That's
ambitious.
Yeah. Well, there's probably, we figured how many individuals here. If you get maybe 20 a year, 20 individuals a year maybe that nest. So 2 or 3 year cycle returning females, so there's 60 or 70 individuals that nest here total, if you don't count the slop of turtles going to
or the
to and from other beaches and the neophytes
that are being scared off by the interns.
Right.
Oh no.
So you know, this seems like a good opportunity to really get a handle on a population.
Yeah.
I think we've got 23 different turtles here this year, or 24,
yeah.
Something like
right.
In the 20s.
Yeah. So you know, one of the problems with the satellite tracking in general or animal tracking. Is that it's expensive,
yeah.
And so you can't afford to track very many animals at once unless you get some massive grant from somebody. But we've been really fortunate to keep this rolling at a low level for a long period of time. You know, at first, it didn't seem like a big deal. The first year, we get 4 tags out, but you know, after last year, we had 12, and that's starting to be a decent number.
Yeah.
You know, 16 this year.
It adds up, yeah.
And it all adds up. So I think there's really some nice information coming out of it now.
When I was watching you guys put the tag on the other night, it's, you know, kind of like a big thing. Did you ever think in like 10 years maybe it'll be as simple as like a little microchip or something and the technology will just improve so much? That
could
be.
You
guys will be looking at each other, remember when we used
to? I mean, it's, you know, they've already improved, and it's one of those things where you know, they always talk about electronics, you know, and miniaturization, how things are getting smaller. But the thing that sort of happens here is that they're not really getting smaller. The tag, you know, the tag package itself isn't getting smaller, but the tags do more. So they keep adding to it, you know, as they get things smaller. Because, you know, the tags that we put on there on these really big, you know, adult female animals are, relatively speaking, not very invasive.
Right.
Because, you know, these are big 200-300-pound animals that we're putting the tags on, so. But it's cool. I mean, I expect us to be able to measure all kinds of great stuff, you know, in 10 years from now with these tags. But when these packages on, it'll, you know, give us a 3D picture of the environment around the animal or something like that.
Well, that'd be cool if I could make them small enough to stick on a hatchling.
Yeah. Well, that would be, yeah. So that's awesome. The place where if we could just get location information, you know, and they could shrink that package down to something really small that you could put on a hatchling or even a yearling, that would be so valuable because that's, you know. Because
then you could track fish.
Yeah, you could.
Because they get eaten.
Oh, right.
What is that? Is that a hatchling or a
cat? We're late.
So, okay, so any closing comments?
This is an awesome position.
Yeah,
awesome.
Highly recommended to anybody that wants to.
Definitely.
Like anybody that wants to
do
anything marine biology, specifically with sea turtles, this would be a good place to go.
All right. Couldn't ask for a better advertisement than that.
Yeah.
Matthew, any closing comments?
No, just, well, thanks for all your help
yeah.
with this project. We couldn't do it without you, so.
Yeah.
We're extremely grateful.
It would be us out there walking the beach.
Who's the best interns you've ever had?
Sorry?
Who's the best group of interns you've ever had?
Put him on the spot.
Well, I mean, I have to say you guys, because, I mean, we had two turtles. We've never had
two turtles
at the same
one
time.
Night, yeah. Sitting
100
yards
right there
apart.
Together. So.
We actually called them out of the ocean.
Yeah, that was totally our work.
And so you can have the whole rest of the week for vacation.
You know, you guys went back and got the box, the second box, and you put it all together, and Michael and I knew that, you know, everything was going to be okay, because you guys had already seen everything, so.
We were able to just go back and forth, you know, between the animals and do our thing, and we knew that you guys were taking care of the rest of it, so
yeah,
that was great. So
we should have done this before we got to work together, so we would have, you know, like, known each other a little bit better while we were out in the field.
Tomorrow night, I hear we're going to Evan Plus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
open.
Yeah? Are they going to be open?
I'm there.
If they're open.
Yeah,
I'm Captain Evan Plus.
All right, so thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for your help, and thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing
with
the turtle geeks of the world.
Yeah. It's going to be a weekly thing, but sort of turned into a monthly.
This month
it's
turtles.
Thanks for sharing with the turtle geeks of the world.
They're not geeks. Oh, they are.
first
Oh,
did you guys see the moon?
Yes! Did you see
it? I thought it was going on fire.